Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time, and you can also access archives of the program by visiting the WPSE homepage and clicking on the Podcasts tab. Today's guest is Scott Frederick, Chief Marketing Officer at Logistics Plus. Hello, everyone. We welcome you into this May 2023 edition of Business Spotlight with our friends at Logistics Plus. On today's program, we will be discussing sustainability initiatives with LP's own Scott Frederick, who has been a regular contributor to this program. Scott, thanks for taking the opportunity to join us once again, and we welcome you into this episode of Business Spotlight.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Scott, and you've been on the show enough times, you know the drill. For those that may be hearing you on the program for the first time, let's rehash your history with Logistics Plus.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been with Logistics Plus for a little over 8 years now. I have, much like most of us at Logistics Plus, I have multiple hats and different responsibilities, but obviously under the marketing role, I oversee all of our company brand building efforts, all of our digital marketing, all of our public relations activities, a little bit of business development as well on the sales side. And then the other major hat I wear is I also manage our LTL, less than truckload segment of business, specifically the contracts and the relationships that we've got with all of our LTL freight carriers. Again, LTL is kind of that middle piece of trucking that sits above, you know, like a parcel shipment, you know, but below a full truckload shipment. So generally pallet size shipments, those sort of things that move across the US. I spent 22 years working in that industry directly for trucking companies, so I know it very well. And for that reason, I maintain those relationships for Logistics Plus on behalf of ourselves and our customers, and do all the administrative aspects of making sure those services are properly portrayed in our TMS.
Well, Scott, we mentioned at the onset of the program that in this edition of Business Spotlight with LP, sustainability was going to be the main topic. So let's go right into that. Why is sustainability so important to a company like Logistics Plus?
Yeah, you know, sustainability is a pretty hot topic. In fact, I was just listening to a podcast a few days ago, and there was a research study done of consumers, and it basically said that according to this study, 85% of consumers have incorporated some sort of green aspect into their buying patterns, and, you know, specifically 60% focus their purchasing decisions on, you know, things that they think are positive for the environment. So definitely top of mind for everybody. Defining it's a little tricky. There's a lot of different things that go into sustainability. In 1987, the United Nations actually came up with sort of a global definition for sustainability. And they stated as basically meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So I think, though, when you look at, you know, most organizations and the way most companies are looking at sustainability right now is generally across three different areas. There's economic sustainability, there's environmental sustainability, and there's social sustainability. And a little bit of overlap between the three, at least in my mind, but those are kind of the areas of focus that you see a lot of companies talking about.
Can you elaborate in more detail the difference between the three aspects of sustainability you just mentioned, economic, environmental, and social?
Yeah, so again, this is a little bit textbook. And like I said, in my mind, I think there's definitely some overlaps between the three, but you know, when you talk about economic sustainability, it's all about giving people what they want without compromising the quality of life, especially in developing parts of the world. So that's the economic sustainability. Environmental sustainability, which I think is probably the area that most of us sort of think about when we think about sustainability, which is the process of meeting the needs of air, food, water, and shelter, as well as ensuring that the environment is neither affected nor polluted. And then thirdly, social sustainability, again, textbook definition here, but it is a combination of formal and informal processes that involve infrastructure to support the cultural and social life of people. So I think if you boil it all down, it's basically trying to do right by people, by cultures, by the environment, so that, you know, we all have a planet Earth to enjoy for many years and many generations to come.
Scott, why don't you give us some examples of how Logistics Plus is addressing economic sustainability?
Yeah, so I think, you know, sustainability has always been part of our growth strategy. In fact, our owner, as you know, Jim talks a lot about karma. You know, what comes around goes around. So, you know, that really is firmly entrenched in sort of our DNA as a company. So a lot of things I think we do, you know, that can be considered sustainability initiatives really are just us trying to do right by doing the right things. So in fact, I had the opportunity with one of my colleagues and also a couple of our peers over at Barnhart. We were invited to talk at a Penn State University panel in front of a group of staff members to just talk about, you know, sustainability in logistics and that sort of thing. So again, this is very much top of mind for us and for a lot of folks in the community. But again, back to your question on the economic side of things, I think one of the prominent things that we've done from an economic sustainability standpoint goes back to 2003, when it was, you know, pretty widely known that we had this dilapidated, rundown train station in downtown Erie, Pennsylvania, and Jim Berlin had the foresight to see what it could be, and so he purchased the building, renovated it, and it really became sort of a inner city renaissance that really continues on that south part of our city today. Additionally, as you know, Jim commissioned murals on some of the bridges and overpasses, another big one over on the Bayfront connector on the warehouse side of a warehouse. So again, just trying to combat blight and, you know, just trying to, again, help sort of drive economic growth within the community. We actually are pretty proud that last year we were presented with an award. It was the 2022 Inner City 100 Award. And that was for being named one of the top companies in the nation supporting inner city growth initiatives. Last year, we were also humbled with an outstanding philanthropic organization award that was presented to us by the Northern Pennsylvania Chapter of Association of Fundraising Professionals. And that was part of that National Philanthropy Day we had last year. So again, really proud of, you know, the kind of the economic sustainability things that really started kind of at the origins of the company when we really started to grow a couple decades ago. More recently, you may recall when COVID hit back in 2020, again, another sort of economic sustainability thing that we did was we shifted and created a LP medical division that sourced and distributed over 10 million units of this personal protective stuff, you know, whether it was masks or face shields, air purifiers, those sort of things. So we did that all around the world until COVID became more manageable in 2021. And then at that point, we had some excess supplies. So we donated another 2 million worth of PPE to churches, schools, nursing homes, and other organizations. So again, trying to really do our part to help, you know, support economic sustainability in our community and frankly around the world as well. As you know, some other things that we've talked about with you recently is, you know, the 1 million plus in support that we provided to Ukraine and the rebuilding efforts going there, which is still something we're very actively involved with. Some of the aid that we provided to Turkey in that area when they were hit with the earthquakes earlier this year. Again, I know WPSE was a contributor to our cause in that effort as well. So we appreciate that. On a much smaller scale, this is kind of an interesting one, the way to think of it. But, you know, just the fact that we last August opened up our own little coffee shop here at the Union Station at our global headquarters may seem like a small thing, but the idea of basically removing the need for employees to have to drive somewhere else to get their coffee in the morning or their breakfast or snacks, because, you know, we've got bagels and donuts down there as well. And then we also, you know, we provide coffee mugs and tumblers and kind of encourage employees to use those. So we're, in a small way, stopping employees from going to, you know, a Starbucks and buying a coffee that has a disposable cup and straws and those kind of things. So another real small thing, I think, that just kind of goes towards that theme of economic sustainability.
Scott, I'm glad that you mentioned the things that your CEO, Jim Berlin, has done for this region. Several things, as a matter of fact, that you just brought up when we were talking about economic sustainability. I know that he and the company don't do it for the sake of accolades. They do it because they believe in Erie and this region.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you hit it on the mark. It starts at the top with Jim, and it just becomes part of the culture of the company. You know, we've also been trying to do more renovations here around Griswold Park area. As you know, there's was an initiative that Jim and some other area companies have started a little over a year ago to try and do some renovation and put in some pickleball courts and that kind of thing, which you may see covered in local press here and there. We hit some hiccups along the way, but you know, it's not totally dead yet. So again, those are some other things that we'd like to see get done. You know, we're a big sponsor of the Erie Sports Center, you know, off the highway there and the work that is being done there. So again, very proud of things that we do in the community. And you know, as Jim always says, you know, what comes around goes around. So, you know, we've been fortunate enough to enjoy some good growth and have good customers in the region and around the world. So if we do right by them, they'll continue to do right by us.
Great stuff. It never gets old hearing about all the great things that Logistics Plus does for the local community. Scott, let's move on now to the second of the trio of sustainability initiatives, and that would be environmental sustainability.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the interesting one, and that a lot of people, you know, when you think about bigger companies and where their focus is at, a lot of it's around carbon emissions and carbon credits, those sort of things. And particularly as it relates to our industry, you know, we got a lot of carbon emissions from trucks and planes and that type of thing. As it pertains to Logistics Plus, though, I mean, other than our warehouses and offices, we are essentially a non-asset-based logistics company. So we don't really own the trucks or the planes or the boats that deliver our customer shipments. You know, we can obviously influence some of those decisions, but we don't actually own the assets. So for that reason, we've made a conscious decision to be a leader in plastic neutrality, which is something that is really more under our control and something that, you know, we do have a plastic footprint. That, you know, when you think about the shrink wrap in our warehouses and some of the debris and stuff at our facilities, even though we may have a small carbon footprint, you know, we definitely have a plastic footprint. So we partnered with an organization called Ocean Integrity about 3 years ago that specializes in the removal and repurpose of plastic waste from our oceans. They actually have a proprietary process for actually pulling that plastic out of the ocean. And they also have a network of fishermen that they actually recruit that help them with this process in places like Indonesia and some third world areas right now where they've been focusing on. And they pull that waste, plastic waste, out of the ocean. And we started off as a logistics partner for them, you know, with some of their transportation and logistics needs. And then we also became a financial partner as well. So working with Ocean Integrity, we actually became the first logistics company in the world to obtain plastic neutrality through their Blue Ocean program back in 2020-21. And as you may have seen this morning, we put out a press release that we just maintained that plastic neutrality for the third year in a row. I think this past year, we were credited directly with removing 36 tons of plastic waste from the ocean. Overall, again, through all of our efforts, not just the financial, but also that some of the other things we do in partnership with Ocean Integrity, we basically being credited with basically removing 3.5 kilos, which is about 7 million pounds of ocean plastic waste over the past 3 years. And that's the equivalent of 175 million plastic bottles being removed from our oceans, which is actually, if you look at our plastic footprint that I measured, and we have a very detailed accounting process to try and determine what that plastic footprint looks like, but we're basically 100 times positive versus our plastic footprint. So we're not just neutral, we're actually positive. So that's kind of cool. The program we're in, they're actually, some of those plastic credits can actually be converted into carbon credits as well. So companies that are looking for programs for sustainability, and you know, if they do at the end of the day want those carbon credits, these plastic credits can be converted. And I know Ocean Integrity is working with a lot of big companies today on some of their various programs. I saw something on social media this morning. They just enlisted Coca-Cola that will be using some of their plastic waste to shrink wrap some of their bottles and things when they're distributing their products. So that was kind of cool to see that. Again, we talked about this a few years back, but early in our partnership with Ocean Integrity, we purchased 1,200 recycled pallets that were all made from plastic waste. Actually 13,000 pounds of plastic waste. That was back in March of 2021. And we use those pallets now in our various warehouses around the country. The Ocean Integrity folks also have a way of converting that plastic waste into building bricks and supplies for building homes. So again, much of our financing goes to building shelters for the homeless in places, like I said, like Indonesia and India and places like that. So that's the plastic side of things. I mentioned carbon emissions. You know, we still have a focus there, although our focus is more part of a program that's called the Smart Way Transport Partner Program. And that's managed by the EPA, the US government's EPA division. To be in that program, which we've been certified as a partner for the last 12 years running, but they basically audit all of our mileage that we have in our network and make sure they look at what carriers we're using and what the equipment that those carriers are using, whether it's a modern fleet or electronic vehicles, those kind of things, electric vehicles, I should say. And then they come up with sort of a emissions footprint that we have as a 3PL. They also do this for trucking companies and shippers as well. There's about 4,000 partners in this SmartWay program. And I actually looked at they actually rank at the end of the reporting year. And I looked at the last reporting year, which was 2022. And we were tied for number one with about 57 other companies as having the lowest carbon footprint in our network based on the carriers we use and the optimization things we do. And we were, I think, one of 640 that were kind of in the top tier of that emissions. So again, proud of the work we do there. And again, that's a sort of a natural byproduct of one of the solutions we provide to our customers, which is, again, looking at their networks for optimization, you know, how to help them reduce mileage in their networks, how to optimize by using the right modes of transportation, whether that's, you know, moving something from a truck to an air or vice versa, consolidating shipments that may move on five trucks and putting it on one truck instead. Those are the type of things that we do, I think, that also support, you know, the reduction of carbon emissions as much as possible. Lastly, I just would say also in our warehouse facilities, we have a focused effort on converting all of our equipment to electric devices. So all of our forklifts, we have over 100 of them now that are all electric. And I think 100% of all of our new equipment purchases in our warehouses are electric vehicles. So again, trying to do as much as we can within those asset-based facilities that we manage on our own. One last thing I want to mention as well, which is kind of cool and interesting. We do a lot of work with sustainability companies and with, you know, particularly companies that are in that renewables energy segment. So we work with a lot of solar companies, a lot of electric companies, and So when we actually just went through recently and looked at how much of that business comprises of our overall book of business, and in our warehousing division, solar products represent about 20% of all the work that we do. And on an overall basis, sustainability companies comprise about 10% of our total book of business. So in a very indirect way, we're again supporting those renewable energies verticals and industries to help get their products to market and, again, hopefully create a better overall environment for everybody.
We're talking with Scott Frederick, the Chief Marketing Officer for Logistics Plus. And Scott, you did a great job of breaking down the second of the three sustainability initiatives, that being the environmental one. Let's go to the last one, and that is social sustainability. How does Logistics Plus view social sustainability?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to social sustainability, we really approach it from a human and cultural side of things. We place a lot of emphasis on the company's culture, diversity, and the support we provide to employees. So diversity, which is, you know, also a very big topic along with sustainability, particularly with some of our larger customers. But, you know, diversity, we continue to celebrate the fact that, you know, we have all sorts of nationalities, employees that work for our company. As we mentioned before, on the top of Union Station here in Erie, we fly 50 flags that each one is the flag for a country of one of the nationalities of our employees. So again, just a small way to celebrate that diversity. On the cultural side of things, we've been fortunate to be certified as a great place to work each of the past 6 years. In fact, a couple years ago, back in, I think it was 2019, Fortune magazine actually named us the 54th best medium-sized workplace in America. And again, we achieve that through employee surveys and through the, you know, again, the culture that we've sort of developed here, which is a very flat, open, transparent culture. We provide excellent health, dental, vision benefits to everybody. In fact, you know, despite those insurance benefits, the cost of those benefits increasing every year, we actually have not increased the cost to our employees in over 3 years. So we've held that steady, even though our organizational costs have obviously gone up. And then again, just providing that fun work environment, you know, the fitness center, the coffee bar, the bi-weekly lunches we provide to employees. So again, those all go towards the sort of cultural side of things. And then lastly, on the support side, we actually provide and support a comprehensive employee assistance program. And through that program, our employees can get mental health, finance, tax, legal consultation services. So again, you know, very focused on supporting the social side of things for our employees, and, you know, within the community. You know, we continue to donate to or sponsor many charitable events. I can't really even keep track of them all. You know, we sponsor the Barber National Institutes, Beast on the Bay, Walk MS, American Heart Associations, many others. So again, just trying to do our part on the social side of things as well.
No surprise to us that Logistics Plus is clearly doing amazing work around this area when it comes to sustainability and company-wide in those other areas you mentioned as well. Scott, before we let you go, let's just open the floor up to you here. And I can imagine there are all kinds of new and exciting things going on at LP, because every time we talk to you, there usually is. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, on the marketing side of things, I like to brag about some of our accomplishments, even though, and some of our awards, even though it's certainly not what we're out to achieve. It's just providing great service and providing a good company for our employees to work at. But it is gratifying when you get recognition. You know, the plastic neutrality certification I mentioned earlier, which we announced this morning, was kind of cool. We were also recently named by Transport Topics as the 100th largest 3PL for the first time in North America. So we've kind of cracked the top 100 list in terms of our size and scale. We also continue to be named. We were recently named by also Transport Topics as a top freight brokerage firm, in a top warehousing firm. I think we're in the top 40 now on the warehousing side. A few weeks ago, Inbound Logistics Magazine, which is a reputable magazine in our industry, they recognized Logistics Plus as a top 100 logistics IT provider. So again, acknowledging some of the work we're doing on the technology side, providing world-class, you know, WMS, TMS, business intelligence, and even now more artificial intelligence type capabilities within our supply chain offerings. So those are some of the updated things that we've had happen recently, and looking forward to things picking up a little bit more and closing out the year strong.
Always great to catch up with you, Scott. Thanks again for another appearance on Business Spotlight. Anything else you want to mention in closing?
No, I think the only thing I would add is that, again, if anybody has any questions, we look forward to and encourage people reaching out to us. So if you'd like to visit us online, we're at logisticsplus.com. Or if you'd like to drop us an email, you can send it to contact@logisticsplus.com. And love to talk supply chain, logistics, sustainability, diversity, any of those topics with anybody that has an interest.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.